Yep.
You can't stop the rain. You can't stop the rain. What's up, man? Ain't shit, you know what I'm saying? We had a little situation in the damn bathroom. A cricket thought it was cool and copacetic to be chilling out in my goddamn drain in my tub. I thought, who the hell?
At first, I thought you were about to say you on the toilet taking a shit. I'm like, oh, no.
That's why I had to cut you off real quick. I was like, hold on. I got you.
A shit like this.
We can't start it off like that.
Oh, what happened?
Mike, go and tell them what happened before I do this.
Oh, I came on the show and shit. I was singing, you know, you can't stop the rain. But anyway, I told him, I was like, yeah, I had to handle a situation in the bathroom. He was like, hold up. And I was like, no, let me finish. No, there was a cricket thinking it was cool and copacetic to chill out in my damn drain in my bathtub.
Damn.
So I had to flush him down. I had to flush him down. You know what I'm saying? I see little spots on my damn tub, and I had to wash that bitch out. I was like, motherfucker, I've been shitting in my damn tub. I think it was cool to start chirping in the drink. Okay.
Damn, poor Mr. Cricket.
Yeah, that was right. Mikey is a Jiminy Cricket murderer.
Wow. Jiminy. Jiminy Cricket.
Jiminy Cricket went down the drain like, give a little whistle. Oh, man.
Well, now his ass is full of damn bleach, motherfuckers. I beat the hell out of that.
Wait, you bleached him too?
Hell yeah, that boy blind, deaf, and dumb right now. This is, what the fuck?
No, he ain't blind, deaf, and dumb. That nigga's dead.
Well, hey, either or, motherfucker. He got clean before he died, bro. He got clean.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm Dick Jones. Two Gun won't be joining us this evening, and this is the Troublemakers Podcast, and we have correspondent Yoga on the show.
Hey. What's happening?
You got anything you want to say, Red, before you... Red's actually conducting the show today, believe it or not.
No, I don't... I got anything to say. Got a couple of things we want to discuss, kind of get out the way. Gonna get into a little bit of current events. We were discussing this earlier, Digger. We are going to mention a little bit about the monkeypox that's out there. And I think it's because, you know, it is out there and there's some stuff that's going around about them or whatever. But I think it's good to clarify some of your thoughts, especially for the listeners who listen to us and don't technically listen to the news. I mean, we can be as useful as the news we can be. And then the other scenario we're going to get into is hip-hop what-ifs. And when we get there, I'll explain why we're doing it. And then after that, Digga, we're going to talk a little bit about Vegas, baby.
Hey. 2 years removed from Las Vegas. So
2 years removed. Shout out to...
All of us are 2 years removed, but I went to Vegas last December, but...
Yeah. Shout out to Marshawn Lynch and the Vegas police.
Oh my God.
Boy, Vegas police is getting everybody in it.
Again, everybody, man.
Just look bad.
You see a motherfucker eye? Like his little eye wasn't even open, man.
The way they be taking damn mugshots is fucked up now. You know damn well his eyes was open on the 3 mugshots you took at his ass. You had to get him with the one where he looked like he was fucked up. Man, come on now.
the instant shot where you hold down the little caption button, it takes like 50 pictures.
Yo, do you remember a couple years ago I got my mugshot, your mugshot, and Double M's mugshot, and I put smiles on them?
Wow. Oh, that app, yeah, I do remember. You know what's fucked up? Going back a couple years. Do you remember the fucking was it a TikTok trend? I think it was a trend that happened like a couple years ago to where kids were posting their parents' mugshots.
No, I don't remember that.
I'm gonna tell you why I remember it. I'm gonna tell you why I remember it. Because motherfucking my son put my motherfucking mugshot and posted it on his like Instagram or TikTok or whatever the hell. All right?
I get
a message from his aunt saying, hey, did you know that he posted your mugshot? I was like, fuck no. So, And I was like, I remember I had the conversation when I was like, hey, yo, man. Yeah, you know, yeah, daddy did some time, whatever, whatever. That's all behind me now. But how the fuck am I going to pick you up from school and your teachers are just seeing shit like this?
Yo, I thought you was going to say you got a phone call from corporate talking about some, Mark Laurie, we have to talk to you about this mugshot you got on here. I know you were asking for a promotion, but...
Hey, listen.
Yeah.
As many years as I'm in now, and if those motherfuckers don't know about my mugshot already, oh well.
Yo, wait.
They're lost.
Can I tell you a funny story about my mugshot?
Yes.
Right. So they said, who wants to volunteer? Because we were doing a case management meeting, and they had kids in Columbia come down to talk to us, right? So we were doing about what's it called? Perception and what's that thing called when you're on social media and like your job finds out about it? Like there's a term for it, I just can't remember what it is. But they said, who wants to raise my hand and everything, right? A Google deep dive of me, right?
Damn.
And they went to the images section. The first image that came up was my mugshot, right? And I'm facing the class, so I can't see what they have on the screen behind me, right? They're like, how does he look? And I said, he looks sad. And I'm like, okay, I don't smile on a lot of my pictures, so I get that. And somebody was just like, he looks lost, like he needs somebody to help him. What the fuck are they looking at? Listen, Mr. Laurie, do you want to turn around? And I turn around, and to everybody's glory, it's my mugshot. Listen, if you were to get a job like you got today, how do you think this reflects, you know, against you? I said, honestly, it really shouldn't matter because I'm here employed now.
I mean, fun fact.
Got the job.
Fun fact, that is all accurate. Yes, he is there now. Damn, and, man. Digger, you probably thinking like, yo, man, I thought that one picture where I had the four chains on, I thought that was cool. These niggas say I look sad?
They said they threw the chains around my feet. Ain't this a bitch?
Oh, shit.
Looking at that mug, showing all them chains on, talking about some, damn, how you go to the bathroom with all that stuff on? Y'all remember that shit from Goddamn, I'm Gonna Get You Sucker? Y'all remember that movie?
Yeah. But you know what's funny about I'm Gonna Get You Sucker, and I know we got stuff to talk about, is as a kid when I saw the movie was hilarious because I didn't understand what was going on.
One of my favorite movies, bro. One of my favorite movies.
It's hilarious because I didn't understand what was going on, but as I grew older, nigga, that movie is fucking what?
I haven't seen it in a long time, and the only scene I remember is when that motherfucker was walking down the street and his glass shoe broke.
Oh, you're talking about Antonio Fargas when he got out?
And they were clowning that dude because damn, he had the glass shoe and the damn the shit broke.
Lord, that shit was
hilarious. And he tried to speed walk, but he couldn't. Yeah.
Walking like I'm walking now, shit. My goddamn foot is killing me. But yeah, man,
Monkeypox.
Really, Digga, because we mentioned we wanted to talk about it, and I think the one thing that I want to talk about, so first and foremost, I'll let you know where I get a lot of my resources for the things I'm about to say. Matter of fact, John Oliver, I don't know if y'all watch John Oliver.
Yes.
On HBO. He just did an episode about monkeypox. It's very informative. But I saw a lot of stuff in that. Then I, you know, did some other research and very, very interesting facts about monkeypox. And the one thing that I find very interesting about it is, you know, just coming off of another pandemic prior to this, did you know that America was actually prepared for monkeypox, but they dropped the ball.
But do you know the bad part about America and a bunch of all this other shit?
Yo.
Everything is a plandemic.
Of course. Explain. It's politics, bro.
You said it's funny. It's funny what?
No, I said explain.
Well, a plandemic, because we've known about COVID for years. We just didn't know about the 19 variant. You know what I mean? COVID's been around all this time. And think back about what happened in 2008. Do y'all remember the pandemic that happened in 2008?
Was it Ebola?
No, swine flu.
It was swine flu.
Swine flu, yeah.
Swine flu. But you know the bad part about it is, we know about this stuff before it comes. We just aren't never prepared.
Well, also...
go ahead.
I was going to say, also, if you think about it, there's reasoning behind the unpreparedness, right? And I'll kind of explain what I learned about monkeypox in regards to that here shortly. But like, I think there's a reason behind it. And then the sick shit is the reason behind it. It oftentimes ends up being like a monetary reason. You know what I mean? Like, especially when you talk about how much money's in healthcare and like who paid from that and things like that. Like, sometimes it makes it seem as if it's a monetary reason though, as to why we don't seem as prepared as we should be.
Man, we can be prepared for the worst thing in the motherfucking world. We will still drop the ball, but yet come back on top, pause, because in my opinion, y'all just bear with me. It's just my opinion. Y'all might have other opinions about this shit, but it's just me. It's politics. That's all.
Yes.
It's politics. It's money, and it's something about somebody who runs the U.S. but needs to have that one stamp to be like, okay, I did this during this time that I was here. You know what I'm saying? And it pains me to say it, but I mean that's what it is.
And I agree. I don't know if you have a thought, but I just wanted to share this thought really quick about monkeypox and what I learned from my research in regards to it. And this is the reason why it makes me think it's politics. So, researching the first case of monkeypox, kind of ever be reported was like in the late 50s, early 60s, or some shit like that. But it was never in America. The first real monkeypox outbreak in America was like early 2000s, like 2001, 2020. And it came from, and I got this from John Oliver, it came from prairie dogs, because monkeypox is something that can carry through rodents, through animals, in some cases it can be airborne and things like that. But like all these people were ordering prairie dogs for some reason in the Midwest, and they would get monkeypox, and they had like 31, 32 confirmed cases. It became an outbreak over there, and they did what they needed to do to do that. Now, one thing I also learned about monkeypox is from the same pox family as smallpox. So theoretically, the smallpox vaccine has elements in there that can help cure monkeypox. Fast forward to around that 2000 time frame, when everybody was afraid of chemical biological warfare, when we was going to war overseas in the Midwest Middle East. Did you know that America like backstocked like over 20 million vaccines? Well, I think it could have been more, but they had at least 20 million vaccines that was like kind of backstocked enough where every person in America at the time could have a dose of the vaccine if that was the case.
I wouldn't be surprised.
All right, so fast forward to now, to where monkeypox becomes an outbreak. And it started a couple months ago. Do y'all know what happened to those backstock of vaccines?
No.
All right. So out of those, I say 20 million because this is where the 20 million number comes from. But it was more vaccines that they had back stock. 20 million of those vaccines expired and they were unusable because they didn't take care of them or whatever the fuck they need to do to keep that stock replenished. Also,
every motherfucker know you got to put shit in the fridge or the freezer to keep shit ready to go.
You know what's funny? Come on now. You know what's funny? I was diagnosed with diabetes in 2017, right? Do you know I still have some of the original medicine from when I was diagnosed with diabetes that don't expire until 2040?
Yeah. But they did it because they were preparing for biological warfare because they thought that if things got to that, that we would have a backup plan. Now, so another thing that they brought up was, and this is where when you talk about from a politics standpoint, there's two points that I'm going to make from a politics standpoint that you're trying to make, Mikey, that they brought up. They said that if you look at some of the people in Africa, right, who's been suffering from like smallpox and monkeypox for years. Mm-hmm. Out of those 20 million vaccines that went expired, how many bottles do you think we shipped them?
About a good 100,000.
Not a goddamn one. Like, we didn't ship them not a goddamn one.
Hey, it's not funny, but it was funny the way you said it. Not a goddamn one.
Not a goddamn one, because if you think about it, those are countries over there that like they don't have anything that we want. So why would we help them out? You know what I mean? Like, why would we help them out? But because they didn't have what they want. Why would we send them medicine just out of the kindness of our heart, knowing that they're suffering and dying down there, unless we're getting something back? That's politics right there, right? And guess who had 300,000 cases of this vaccine that are finally getting shipped over here within the next couple of months? Like someone like New Zealand, I think it was like New Zealand or some shit, like had a backstock of these vaccines that they were shipping over here. Like,
yep, you know what I mean? Because they kept that shit in the fridge.
That's because they kept it in the fridge. You know what I mean? Like, it just goes to show, like, you know, it doesn't matter what the pandemic or the issue is. If it affects the right people, then it becomes a problem.
They say, God damn, we got to bail out America again. Fuck.
But you know what's also crazy too? If you look at the statistics around monkeypox, like it's only like you look at the group of people that is currently affecting right now, like the main folks and the main percentage of the people that's, because everybody can get it, but the main people that's getting it right now is the homosexual community. Right, so when you look at like Republicans and those folks right there, they don't look. They're looking at it as an issue, but they're not looking at it as a pandemic, because it's only really the bulk of the people that's getting affected is that certain community. You know what I mean? Like, it's funny because
and that's how most people will look at it too. Like, that's gay issue. No. It's a U.S. issue. Goddamn, get this shit nipped in the bud.
Paul. It was crazy because like I said, I'm watching this and I'm like researching this, and like the gay community is feeling like this is like the AIDS epidemic all over again. It's only a gay problem, right? And it really is not, because anybody can get monkeypox, but like, imagine if like the majority of the people get monkeypox right now were middle class white folks.
Ooh, oh shit, no, that should be done. Already.
Oh, if that was the case, bro, if that was the case, I could probably Uber Eats me a vaccine right now. I could Uber Eats me a vaccine right now. I had that motherfucker here in like the next 30, 45 minutes. Like, and that's really where the politics parts come in, which makes it scary, because like, you know, like they don't put their foot to the metal unless somebody's saying something about it. You know what I mean? Like, cause this whole shit started like months and months ago, even though we knew it was there and it could have been a bigger issue a longer time ago, but like months and months ago. And now everybody's just like, okay, let's just try it. Okay, let's make more vaccines. Let's make more testing available. And let's go ahead and start recording the actual data of who has it, because they wasn't doing that shit. like states wasn't recording and reporting who actually had it. Let's start nailing this down so that way now that people can or who are getting concerned can take care of it or whatever the fuck. Like, it's crazy, man.
My thing is, this is a little funny point, but are we gonna start, like, you know how we us back in the day, are we gonna start saying monkeypox like we used to say monkey bread?
Monkeypox. The only other thing I hate about monkeypox or kind of going on is the way that social media is viewing it, is because like you see all these pictures of motherfuckers like with like all these bumps and shit in the gym, they're like, "Oh, is that monkeypox?" I mean, that's fucked up.
On Instagram, isn't it?
Well, there's the one chick on Instagram, but there was another one with the guy at the gym, and then there was another one.
I just looked at that.
Yeah, the dude sitting on the bus, and then somebody like just recording this dude. Like, obviously, he didn't sign consent that you can record him, and it's like, oh, is that monkeypox? Like, you know, that's that element of social media that I fucking like don't like right there.
You know what's funny? Is that monkeypox? Is that a broken phone? Fuck up my face, though.
Dude, I don't know if you remember, but I remember when I had chicken pox a long time ago.
Yo. Like,
those chicken pox spots on me stayed there for a long fucking time.
Can I say something about Red's chicken pox?
Yeah.
Red had the worst case of chicken pox, and he had it at the worst time because we were moving from Florida to South Carolina.
Yeah.
I contracted chicken pox from school. I gave chicken pox to Danielle. Danielle gave chickenpox to Red, but when Red got the chickenpox, Red had chickenpox on top of chickenpox. Like, that's how bad it was. And he had one on his lip that was, like, fucked up.
Damn, boy, you had a bone. Sorry for the business out there.
You know, sorry to put your business out there, but...
No, that's cool.
When I say, chickenpox normally lasted a week. This boy had chickenpox 8 weeks.
Yeah,
so like you had that evolved version, goddamn. You had that shit evolved from Daniel.
But then on top of that, and then on top of that, Red and I shared a room, right? My mom was so worried about me getting chicken pox again that I had to sleep in the living room for 2 weeks because she didn't want me in the same room as my brother.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And I'm like, yo, all my toys are in there. She didn't give a shit.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, the crazy thing about that is I remember, like, for years, I had, like, these little spots. And you can still see, obviously, they're faded because I'm older now. But, like, you can still, like, look and see, like, little, like, dark little spots and stuff all through my body and shit. But ladies know it because the ladies seen it. But, little dark spots on my body. But that was from, like, chicken pox. And, like,
but the thing about it is, after he healed from it, he had, like, these ingrained, craters.
Yeah. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, if like they were still the way that they were, and then like somebody see me, I don't want nobody posting me on Instagram talking about, "Ooh, that nigga got the monkey box." Nah, nigga, like this is just, you know what I mean? Like, it literally, if you had monkey pox and you had the spots like that, like apparently, like I said, I don't have it, I haven't had it, but like from like I said, what I've seen, apparently it actually feels like extreme pain. Like, those blisters are extremely painful. So, like, okay. You ain't going to see me on no bus or in no gym, like, if I got the shit. So, you know what I mean? Leave them niggas alone.
My job is very accommodating. If we get anything, my job is just like, yo, don't come to the fucking office. Just.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, military don't play that shit. You got what? Oh, nah, stay your ass home. You'll call somebody.
Make the phone calls from the house.
Exactly.
But in closing on monkeypox, like Red, tell people how to.
I mean, right now, like I said, the biggest culprit right now, folks who are getting it, are like I said, is majorly the homosexual community, right? So I mean, there's a lot of different ways to prevent it, and the big thing is just like just. Get yourself informed, man. Like, do the research, read the CDC websites and things, and like, just really get yourself informed about, first and foremost, what the fuck it actually is, how to get it, how to prevent it. Because really, like the way to prevent it is if like if you get things like headaches, nausea, you know, you start feeling like some like itchy skin and start seeing like blisters and stuff appear. First off, go get tested. Make sure it's not what you think. Make sure it's not it. And then if it is, just keep yourself clean, and then and also make sure that you the stuff around you is clean, like bed sheets and shit like that.
It's important to wash your fucking hands. You know what I mean?
And wash your ass.
And wash your ass.
Wash your hands. Wash your ass. I mean, COVID's still out there, and motherfuckers walking around with no mask. That's cool and all, but just don't think though because you don't have a mask on that the shit don't exist anymore because it's still out there. You know what I mean? If you go, here's a unique tip. If you go to hotels and shit like that, bring your own sheets because I ain't trusting no motherfucking.
Hell no.
Nope. But you know, you know what's funny about that though? The funny thing is, like, when me and Bree met was the height of the pandemic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we got a hotel room in Myrtle Beach, right? Like, and I thought it was like mad odd. She pulls out like 3 cans of Lysol and like starts like,
bro, you got
the damn Clorox wipes and everything. And you know, I'm not saying that I didn't take the pandemic seriously. She's like, she wiped off everything, sprayed Lysol on everything, and she's just like, well, check the bed for bed bugs. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, shit, all the Clorox and shit that we put on this bed, if they're on.
I kept the bottle of Lysol on me when I was deployed. Okay, it's understandable because you're deployed and you go to different tents and all this and that, blah blah blah. But that shit carries over. You go to the hotel room, you're like, oh, this is a nice hotel. Not gonna be where you get that Lysol, spray this motherfucker up and shit.
Bro,
are you here,
nigga? Did you not see that? My Vegas bag.
Oh, I remember
the little black bag that I had. It was almost like a little satchel type bag, but it was like a little black bag. That motherfucker was filled with rubber gloves, Lysol wipes, and hand sanitizer.
Yo, nigga, do you remember my bag?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Tell you what.
Listen, I walked in the room and I seen the bag, but I ain't never asked questions. So I was
But you know what's funny about my Vegas bag though? I had almost every sanitizer.
Yeah, shit.
And everything. It's just like
he carry hand sanitizer like it was cologne and shit.
I did, but listen, because remember, I got
that Bath and Body Works too.
Nick, you know where Bree works.
Shit,
but I got there 3 hours before everybody, right? When I got done sanitizing that room, you know that little smoke that comes from like the Lysol cans and everything? It looked like I was walking in a music video. I had to leave the room because I fumigated it so bad.
Hey, we getting ready to go out to eat. Hey man, you want some of this hand sanitizer? Hey, which one you want? You want that Waikiki coconut?
You want Waikiki coconut?
Or you want that? Yeah. You want that red berry? That red berry? Yeah, I got you.
I got that Sean John for you now. Hey, all right.
Sean John.
That new Sean John for you. I got you now.
Make your fingertips tingle, but you ain't gonna get that bid, dog. You ain't gonna get that bid.
But Red, what's the next subject?
Yeah. So once again, just to kind of end with the monkeypox stuff. Like I said, just make sure if you're listening, you're worried about it. Get yourself informed. Go and study the real news on it. Get off of Instagram and social media because some of that shit's not going to be real. Just make sure you take care of yourself. Keep yourself clean. If you don't feel good, take your ass to the doctor. And also, COVID is still out there. The next subject.
So basically, Mark is saying, read, motherfuckers. Read, okay. Don't be looking at shit. Read it.
Read
it.
It is
fundamental. Fundamental.
Also, go change your clothes in your room.
Yeah. All right. So, jumping into the next topic. So this topic right here is a very interesting topic. So we was actually talking the other day. In a group chat about some sports what ifs, right? And I give you a scenario. of like what we mean by what if. Because what if right now is like a huge thing. You know, there's like all these what if scenarios. Bro, look, I Marvel movie got what if. What if. You know what I mean?
Lord have mercy.
Because there's a lot of what ifs that you have to defend. There's a lot of what ifs that it's like, you know, I wonder if this did happen. So like a good example of a what if is this. What if, now hear me, I'm just going to do a sports one. What if Kyrie Irving did not get hurt? And was it the 2015 NBA Finals? I want to say, or 2014 NBA Finals?
I think it was
when they first went against the Warriors and Kyrie got hurt in game one, but LeBron carried him to a 6-game series, which that if they had one extra person, they probably would have won that series against the Warriors. Right, so how what if scenario works is what if Kyrie didn't get hurt? I think the Cavaliers probably would have won that series, which in turn would have forced the Warriors to either. Because remember, the next year Warriors were 72-10, and they didn't change their team because they had a winning team. But if they would have lost, and then I think they would have forced the hand to make some movement that would have not brought Kevin Durant to the Warriors 2 years later. Also, would have probably got rid of Klay Thompson, because I think that was also around the time that there was rumors about trading Klay Thompson to the Timberwolves for before they eventually got Andrew Wiggins and some other folks. But anyway, that's how what if works. So what we was discussing was, you know, what if there's some hip hop scenarios of these what ifs, right? Now, obviously, when you talk about what ifs, the logical ones are always like death. So, like, what if Biggie didn't die? What if Tupac didn't die?
I was about to say that would be the automatic number one for me. What if Biggie and Tupac didn't die?
No. Yeah, jeez. And we'll visit that particular what ifs. But like, let's think of some other hip hop what ifs. But do you want to attack that one first, Digga?
Yeah, I want to go ahead and attack that one first.
Okay, so hip hop what if? What if Biggie didn't die?
All right, so if Biggie didn't die, do you I believe hip hop would have been the same, and I'm gonna tell you why. Jay-Z wouldn't have been as big, but he would have been a big artist.
Mm-hmm.
We still would have got the mumble rap phase, we still would have got the SoundCloud wave, this, that, and the third. And honestly, just like everybody else, change with the times.
I believe that.
Because you got to understand, hip hop is all about ingenuity and hustle.
Damn it, nigga! Because you just said like, what if, like, you know, I mean, not what if, but you know, hip hop changed with the times and shit. And I just can't help but think Biggie mumble rapping. I don't think that would ever happen with Biggie. But
that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying
I got you.
Because Jay-Z didn't start mumble rapping. Eminem
not at
didn't
all.
Start mumble rapping. Well, Eminem just started rap doing fast as flow. Crazy flow. So
you know, like I agree with you a little bit, but I actually think it would go a different direction.
Alright. How so?
Alright, so here's me. If Biggie didn't die, I still think that, to your point, Jay-Z would have been as big as he was. But Jay-Z would have played a second fiddle, like a Scottie Pippen to Biggie. I also believe that if Biggie didn't die, that the New York hip-hop scene would not have been as dominant as it was. Because Biggie's death forced a lot of New York rappers to try to fill that King of New York void after Biggie died. Right?
Remember what year Biggie died, right?
97.
What happened in 98?
I don't know.
Some of the artists started getting more exposure. You had Outkast who dropped Aquemini, the No Limit explosion, the Cash Money explosion. Hip hop would have went to the South regardless, depending on who was the king of New York or not. And New York dropped some
But if you look at somebody, if you look at somebody like 50 Cent, right, and you look at somebody like Nas and things like that, and you also look at, and this is the big thing that I don't think anybody's looking at, if you look at how Bad Boy Records was managed.
Thank you.
Right?
Thank
because you. The big thing is, every single person who left Bad Boy Records had something to say about Puffy and the way he managed him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Biggie would have not had something to say about Puffy and the way he managed him? I actually believe that not only would like the New York, I mean obviously the New York hip hop scene would have always been what it was. I think that some artists who are coming out of New York now who's looking to feel that King of New York vibe probably wouldn't have had as much of a like as strong of a push to do so. Like so a good example of that will be like somebody like Fabolous, right? So Fabolous, obviously one of my favorite rappers. But like he just seems like he would have been one of those rappers who would have just fell on the wayside as just being another rapper from New York.
Looked over, right?
Like he probably would have been one of those type of rappers like that. But I believe that eventually when the smoke clears, that Biggie ultimately would have not stayed with Bad Boy Records. He 9 times out of 10 would have signed with Rockefeller because you got to put Dame Dash, Kareem Burke, and Jay. They were already formulating Rockefeller and doing their thing. And then Biggie would have saw that and then be like, well, me and Jay are doing this, the commission. Puffy's treating me like shit. I'm jumping ship. And I almost guarantee you that he would have made a diss record about Puffy.
But do you know what's funny, though? A lot of people do not know this. Do you know Biggie died in debt?
I can believe
negative.
It.
Well, shit, yeah. I mean, hell.
I mean, I can believe it because, like it's Puffy's management style. That shit would have caught wind, and then he would have jumped over, and then Rockefeller Records probably would have evolved into something bigger. Like, when you got Biggie, who the fuck needs the Memphis Bleak? You know what I'm saying?
Well, my thing is, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, my thing is, I don't think Puffy would have did what he doing now if Biggie didn't die. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of this shit wouldn't pop off as far as, like, you know, Rockefeller, you know, moving up or being the top motherfucking tier if Bad Boy would have had Biggie around. But so I'm thinking, like, everything happens for a reason. You know what I'm saying?
It's funny, though. When you look at interviews, like, especially from certain artists that was around, like Black Rob and everything,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know Biggie actually came to bat for them? Like, yo, let them boys sing. Let them boys produce. Stop, you know, being in the studio all the time with them. And he's saying this to Diddy. Like, Biggie was already feeling the strain of, like, yo, stop overbearing these people. Let these people get the work like I'm getting the
yes.
work.
Yes, 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 absolutely. And with that being said, like, I'm pretty sure Bad Boy would have been that top tier motherfucking thing, like, you know, like Rockefeller or any one of them.
I mean, don't get me wrong, they were still polished, except Puff was giving out nigga deals.
Very much so. You see what happened to Maze? Hell.
But one of the things that I always wonder about a hip-hop what if is, what if Big L didn't get assassinated while he was on his way to sign his Rockefeller contract?
That's a huge one, too.
Because a lot of people don't know, Big L was actually on his way to meet with Dame Dash and Jay-Z for his Rockefeller contract.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to understand, his first two albums were not independent, but, you know, like, on a label, and the label literally dropped him because of the dismal sales. Even though that's one of the greatest hip-hop albums of all time, Lifestyles of the Poor and Dangerous, and that's an album I listen to religiously twice a week. It just didn't sell.
And so, then you know what else would have happened with that? If you got Big L, there's no need for Memphis Bleak. Like, every single scenario we've done so far, Bleak has gotten the worst end of the stick on this one.
Well, but I got another one.
Go ahead.
I got another one. No, go ahead, Dick. Go ahead.
No, I was going to do a what if with Memphis Bleak. What if Memphis Bleak called out Nas?
Or what if Memphis Bleak would have just took that money from Jay and was like, all right, I'm off the block. right? You remember that? What the fuck? Remember? Because he gave that money back to Jay and was like, nah, man, I'll work with you for free. I just want to get to... Like, what if Jay-Z would have said, no?
No, but the thing about it is, a lot of people don't realize, do you know the Jay-Z Nas beef started with Memphis Bleek?
I mean, if he had Biggie and Big L instead of Bleek, man.
No, I'm dead serious. That's how the beef started. I'm sorry, Memphis
Bleek. I did not know that. I knew. I thought it started off of the because I remember he went at Prodigy, and to my knowledge, this was just after. Very recently after Prodigy and Nas had did Mobb Deep and Nas had did that that one track, the one that sampled the shit off of Scarface.
Oh, you're talking about Mine.
Yeah. It was around the same time, and I thought that after he went after Prodigy that he was kind of sticking up for Prodigy and then went after Jay.
Okay, so here's how the beef started. And like it's well documented. So the beef started when Memphis Bleek started calling out Nas, you know, like, you know, Jay-Z's the best rapper in New York. Boo, boo, boo. He beats Nas. He does this. And, you know, he's going on radio stations saying, maybe homie, whatever, whatnot, right? So the song, oh, God, what's the name of the song that switches Mine Right? And Mine Right, yeah, it has a few, you know, subliminals to Nas, right?
Funny about that, wasn't Jay-Z on that song? Or Jay-Z was on a remix of that song?
Jay-Z was on a remix.
Yeah.
So, what's it called? So, Memphis Bleek releases a song that features Jay-Z also called What You Think of That? Where he's calling
What You
out
Think
of
That?
What You Calling Out Nas Again? So, what does Nas do? He interpolates the chorus of What You Think of That on the beginning bars of Nostradamus. I need an encore, y'all. You should welcome me back. You want a ball till you fall. I can help you with that. So on and so on, because the chorus of What You Think of That says, you know, what you think of that, what you think of that, I'm a ball till I fall. What you think of that? Anywho, so when the beef started getting heavier and, you know, Nas calls him out, I mean, not Nas calls him out, but Memphis Bleek calls him out on Mine Rhyme, whatever, whatnot, Jay-Z says, Bleek, you're not lyrically equipped to handle a caliber artist like Nas. So I'm going to help you out. So Jay-Z started making subliminals on what's the name of Memphis Bleek's second album? The Understanding. And that's where Nas started the Stillmatic freestyle where he dissed everybody on Rockefeller. And then Takeover comes out and the rest is history.
So well, you're talking about the H to the MO freestyle?
Yeah.
The H to the MO?
Yeah, but he dissed everybody on the label. Yeah. But anyways, so Memphis
Fun facts.
The situation he can't handle.
And once again, if you would find Big E and Big L. I will say this though. I mean, I'm glad Bleek did it, because if Bleek did not do that, then we would have never got Ether. So
that's true. But here's the thing about Ether. Do you know I don't look at Ether as a good diss?
Okay.
You're wondering why, aren't you?
Because a lot of it was just like a lot of it wasn't based off of facts. It was just like
the dozen. Mama's ugly.
Yeah, I get that.
So on. Like
actually that 38 in the karate class was actually a pretty funny ass thing because you don't remember the like all the images like. Because there's this thing obviously going around on the internet about Jay-Z just being the funniest looking nigga doing regular things, yeah. Right?
Like
there was actually pictures that was circling around like MTV and stuff at the time, and I remember them, of him like doing karate.
Doing yoga. It was doing yoga.
Yoga and karate and shit. You Tai Bo Ho. Goddamn.
You Tai Bo Ho.
Speaking
like Rockefeller dying of AIDS and so on and so on.
Yeah, I rock hoes, y'all Rockefeller. That shit was a funny ass line.
Like I said, it's just one of the biggest dozens like saying you're ugly. Like, that's why I never gave
Ether. I mean,
I'm just giving the nigga got compared to a camel.
So
I mean, I'm just giving him. No, I'm just giving you an example.
No, no, I get what you're saying though. So but speaking of which,
like, you know who plays the dozens the best. But everything that Jay-Z said was actual facts.
I left condoms on your baby seat. That shit was cold.
Like, that's why I always gave Jay-Z the advantage, because the thing about it. The thing about it was he was telling facts.
I drive with a baby seat or car seat in my car, because, you know, I got my daughter's car seat back there. And if I'm listening to that, if it pops up on my radio, like, I just look at my rearview mirror and I look at that car seat and I just imagine, I'm like, yo, what if a nigga left condoms on my car seat? Right? I'll be pissed as hell. My daughter sit back there. God damn.
Look in the rearview. Oh my God. I can't believe you said, look in the rearview. Baby, what you playing with back there? Get out.
Put it down.
Nigga. Do the whole parent reach back and just smack in the head like, get that.
You know what the fuck you put in your mouth?
Where that come from? That ain't mine. What your mom been doing? You said digger. What up? Speaking of this song, I was going through, like, I have like a whole list of like hip hop what ifs, and this one's going to kind of help me transition into this what if. And I want to get your perspective because I know the group, but like you rock with them a little bit more than I do. You put me onto them before the movie did, but what if Ice Cube never left N.W.A.
Honestly, if Ice Cube never left N.W.A., they were going to get the same demise due to the simple fact that the money wasn't right. So when you got and Jerry sharing, you know, the lion's share of everything, and you guys are going on tour acting like fucking puppets, like, things in the movie were a little because everybody was eating good. It wasn't like, you know, Jerry and Easy are eating lobster and everybody was eating burgers like it was in the movie. That's one of the fictitious parts.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, they just for, you know, glamour effect. But the thing about it is, if you know you're selling XYZ amount of records, and Ice Cube, who was the primary writer, you know, I write rhymes for Dre, I write rhymes for Easy, I write rhymes for everybody, I should be getting a little bit more lion's share. Yeah, it was bound to happen. It was inevitable. Everybody would have done the same shit. Everybody would have left eventually, because the thing about it is the money's not being split properly.
But here's what I think.
Dre, who's doing 100% of the production, yo, I'm only getting a check for $17,000 for this whole album when we sold 3 million copies.
Here's what I think, though. Mm-hmm. Here's what I think, though. And I'm going to go based off of the movie and the history that I know and stuff like that. I think you're correct, Digga. I think they all would have eventually caught wind, and then Jerry Heller would have been like, he would have been out the door. But I think that they all would have left collectively, and they all would have helped create and start Death Row Records. Can you imagine a N.W.A. Death Row album?
Yeah, of course I could. Because the thing about it was Death Row was on fire.
Yes, I think they all would have left and joined to Shook. There wouldn't have been a reason for Easy to not sign over his rights to Suge Knight, which then means that he wouldn't have got injected with that AIDS needle. Oh, did I just say that?
Oof.
Did I just say that? Oof. And then they all would have signed, and then there also might have been a possibility that they still would have had Snoop and Tupac.
Nigga said
that. Or that they didn't need Snoop and Tupac. I'm just saying.
They still would have had them because, I mean, even during the NWA days, Snoop Dogg was starting to hang out with Dre more.
But you know what that means, though, right?
What's that?
And this goes down the rabbit hole of this particular what if. If Ice Cube never left the group, guess who would have never got discovered?
Who's that?
Bone Thugs and Harmony.
That is true.
And guess who else would have never got discovered?
Who's that?
The Black Eyed Peas.
The Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, Lord. Black Eyed motherfucking Peas, man.
They would have got discovered, but they probably would have got discovered a different way. So yes, I mean,
weird nigga Apple the app.
So it would have led to something totally different, which is pretty. I mean, I think that's like a pretty interesting fact that definitely would have changed the course of a lot of stuff.
Your real name is Apple Diop. We got you.
My thing is
Taboo. You got a tall looking Indian motherfucker. I know what your guys are wondering. How does he know the name of the Black Eyed Peas? I'm a music historian. Y'all leave me the fuck alone, okay?
Oh, shit.
But do you know what's funny? Black Eyed Peas, you know they used to do hardcore rap?
I could tell.
So negative. Hell no. Nope.
But,
nope.
You know what's funny? Will.i.am is actually an ill lyricist when he actually does hip hop.
Yeah. Really?
Seriously. Like, listen to Black Eyed Peas' first album, Behind the Back. Nigga.
Dude, I got another what if I want to discuss. And essentially, it could potentially be two what ifs off of the same person. But I'll just say the first part. What if Kanye West's mom never passed away?
Oh man, we still would have Memphis Bleak.
Jesus Lord, what?
Are you sure about that? Because
Kanye's Jiminy mom, Cricket and Memphis Bleak. What in the fuck is going on?
Because Kanye's mom might have leaned into Kanye and James, like, hey. Now you see my baby putting out better numbers than this other guy right here. I mean, can you give my baby some more plays?
What's wrong with y'all? Y'all over here bullshit. Y'all hear my baby out there? All right now.
Now my baby done produced that blueprint for you. You know who didn't do that? Your old Memphis friend over there.
But you know, if Kanye's mother wouldn't have died, I think we would have gotten still a very, very humble Kanye. When you look at Kanye's documentary Genius, Kanye going off the rib of his mother. Like, his mother kept him sane, his mother kept him grounded, you know, you're not too big for this, Kanye, so on and so on. When you don't have that central guidance or anybody to ground you, you're going to be as big-headed as a motherfucker.
I think you're right.
Yeah, we ain't got near snow boots everywhere. Like,
damn, it's 98 degrees out here. You gonna take it? I think you're right, Digga. And one of the things that I thought of with this particular scenario is I thought of two things. And one, I may be totally, totally wrong on. I think that you definitely wouldn't have gotten like the crazy cycle, whatever you want to call Kanye, however y'all feel about him now. You definitely wouldn't have gotten that Kanye, which makes him hard to kind of deal with as a person. Because like he was definitely very straightforward and like a about his business type person always. But I think that amplified a little bit to where like he just didn't have the same care for other people after his mother passed. But I also think that you wouldn't have gotten as much of the genius in his music and production if his mother was still here. And the reason why is because I think if you look at Kanye's music, right, and a lot of his production stemmed from like a lot of older music. You know what I mean? Like a lot of like 70s, 60s, 80s music. I think the fact that he pulls those samples from those older music is probably because that's the music that his mother grew up, like he listened to when his mother was there. And like that's his way of solace to try to like say, like integrate the music that she loved into his work, right?
Yeah.
You know what I
did you realize?
And I also think, I know.
That's a Steely Dan sample, man. Don't fuck with Steely Dan.
Yes, I did.
Dig, I know you got a point, but my other point is this. Like, I feel like also after Kanye's mother died, this knob in him of, like, I don't give a fuck turned. And I think that I don't give a fuck knob allowed him to take more risk that he probably wouldn't have taken if his mother was still there.
This is what I always say when it comes to Kanye, you know, mom dying. I say, if you really want to know how it affected him, listen to the albums before the death and after the death.
The first album after Death was 808 and Heartbreaks, right?
Yeah, that's the first album he released, but she was still alive during throughout that whole album. The album was complete. That album already had a release date before his mother passed.
Yep. Good morning was the chick. Good morning.
Like his first album after his mother's real album after his mother's death is critically acclaimed, Five Mics, Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. But like you listen to the shift on that album where he just started talking about, you know, themes of like it was a real dark album that was beautifully placed. You know what I mean? Like the subject matter on that album was very, very heavy. And a lot of people don't realize that. And I always say, if you really want to know how Kanye, you know, how Kanye's discography is, you have, you know, BD 80 before Donda, after Donda. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when Donda finally passed, like when you listen to I Am a God album, and the whole album was weird. I'm not certain if you remember this, Red, but the week that my brother had a bootleg copy of both Yeezus and my what's the name of that Jay-Z album that came out that year? Shit, Magna Grill. And I was.
Hey, man, don't be calling out my bootlegs like that, man.
No.
I'm joking. Go ahead.
No, in Red's defense, he bought the actual album.
I did. Not Yeezus.
In Red's defense.
I didn't buy you.
You didn't buy you?
I did not buy you.
I remember we were sitting in the parking lot of my mom's job. Remember, we were outside the VA, and my brothers let me listen to Yeezus, and well, he let me listen to my Beautiful Dark Magna Carta Holy Grail first. And he's like, yo, check this out. This is going to be, you know, the shit, woo, woo, woo. And I listened to it, and I'm agreeing. I'm like, yo, this album's pretty dope. So I remember he put in Yeezus, and the first thing I heard was, yo, yo, yo. Like this technical shit. And I'm like, yo, is this a new Kanye album? He goes, yeah, it gets kind of weird at first. And I remember like him scrolling through the album and I wasn't impressed. And I remember Red said, yeah, I think his mom's death really fucked him up.
Yeah.
That's how you rate Kanye's discography. Now, does he have some good albums after his mother's death? He does.
Oh, Father Stretch My Hand. Lord have mercy. Y'all are the only power.
Power.
Oh, shit. But yeah, I mean, does he have good music? Yes, he does. Get to reference good music? No, all right.
I see what you did there.
Honestly, I think if Kanye's mom never died, we still would have got more classics, but just more polished classics. Does that make sense? Because you got to. First three albums, he got better with E.
Yeah.
He wanted to release 808s and Heartbreaks just to do something different, to have like a semi-concept album. Then your mom dies and all hell breaks loose because you don't have anybody to keep.
I mean, not for nothing. What if Kanye like never got into that car accident that he was in too? Because you remember one of the most intriguing things about Kanye when he first came out. And what really put him on the map is when he did that Do the Wire song and he wrapped it with his fucking mouth wired shut. Like that concept of that song, I felt like was obviously he had raps and things prior to that, but I felt like that was like the jump start to his stardom. Like that's how he was like discovered to me of like, oh, this motherfucker really can rap. You know what I mean? Like, Kanye was like, well, fuck it, I'm just gonna rap with my mouth wired shut and I'm gonna call it Do the Wire. Yo, that's fucking clever as shit. You know what I mean? And then, like, he did it. And then, like, that, I felt like that was what really jumped him to mainstream.
So, are we putting it out there that we in order to be, you know, big fame, motherfucker, you need to get your mouth wired shut? Because 50 Cent had the same thing.
Ooh, that's a good point, Mikey. I made it to another one. What if 50 Cent never got shot? We would have been missing half of the whole fucking first album.
We'd have missed all the P's, all the emphasis on the
fucking shot me 9 times. Real niggas don't die.
Oh Holy shit. Are we finished with the what ifs? Because I got one what if.
No, go ahead. Digga?
I'm here.
You all right?
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right.
What the fuck? No, I'm here. It's just like, if I go to another app, my phone just fluctuates because I'm the host. So.
No worries.
Because I'm the host, you know.
But let's just wrap up the what if, because we're already at the hour mark.
All right, Mike, you got one more left. Go ahead and go.
My what if is, well, I had two of them, but I'll just go with this one.
Now we go. Go ahead.
Okay, well, what if?
We'll be quick.
What if Young Jeezy didn't leave Boys in the Hood?
We would have still had a Memphis Bleak album. But no, if Young Jeezy never left Boys in the Hood, we would have never got the glory of Gorilla Zone.
That's a fact.
In a full range. Because Gorilla Zone was the glue that kept Boys in the Hood together, because they still needed a show out star.
And Gorilla Zone was my motherfucker on his first three albums. And then afterwards,
don't get me wrong. Do you know who Big Duke is?
No.
The biggest name that they had outside of Jeezy was Jody Breeze.
Yes.
Jody Breeze, sir.
Jody Breeze couldn't stay out of trouble. So they needed somebody grounded to keep the face of before we got Gorilla Zoe. And that's why I said we would never got the full ability of Gorilla Zoe if Jeezy never left Boys in the Hood.
Motherfucking him! Yeah. Boy, Gorilla Zoe was... I'm telling you, I loved Gorilla Zoe in his first couple of albums.
I also think...
He fell off. I don't know what the hell. He tried to transition into Flo Rida type shit, and that shit wasn't working out. But I don't know what the hell.
But you said you also think Red.
I also think that if Jeezy would have stayed in Boys in the Hood, Jeezy wouldn't be as big as he is now.
Because he would have stunted. He would have stunted his own growth.
Yeah, he would. I think he. Once again, it's another one of those bad boy contracts that Diddy didn't really pay a lot of attention to, because this was Bad Boy South. And like, he didn't really flourish. You saw, in order for Gorilla Zoe to get big, Gorilla Zoe had to break off to get big. Jeezy had to break off to get big. Jody Breeze, well.
but you know what's funny about Gorilla Zoe?
Yo.
The first line I heard from Gorilla Zoe was in a song, Everybody Know Me by Boys in the Hood. This man said, underwear, only got a couple pair. I've been fucked up all my life and nobody even care. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? First thing first, you don't admit to nobody that you only got a couple of pair of underwear. Like,
you rotate them shit?
This nigga roasted himself.
My other what if is, what if Outkast didn't disband?
They didn't disband though.
What if they would have made that album they've been promising for the last 10 years?
But here's the thing, they never really disband. It's just like, all right, so the best way I could look at it is Key and Peele. They never really disbanded, but they just had creative differences. It's just like, you know, Jordan Peele wanted, and the movies that Key wanted to do, you know, Michael Keegan wanted to do, were comedies, you know, slapstick. Jordan Peele is just like, look, I'm trying to do this over here. And there's nothing wrong with creative differences. Like, look at Desus and Meru. When you listen to the speaker box Love Below, it's a beautiful album.
So
I don't even list it as a solo album, because both of them are on there and it's listed as an Outkast album. But when you listen to where Big Boy was going and where Dre was going, it's hard to do the cohesiveness, and that's what we found out on the Idlewild album.
She lives in my life.
Because the Idlewild album is just as equally split as Speaker Box Love Below.
It is.
All roped into one. Yeah.
It is. But I think with the what if is, I think at the time they were still looking at doing one more album, but it kind of never flourished.
Contract.
Yeah, it never flourished. So what if they would have just wanted to finish out the album, the contract, and then put their best work in and create an album? And the only reason why I say that is because if you listen to the two or three things that Andre put out since they broke up, which not albums, I mean two or three songs, It just so happened to be features. And then the two or three albums that Big Boy put out, I think that, like, the Big Boy now, and then I think it would be fucking amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
But they got to be on the same page, though.
Yeah, and plus, what I heard before.
And it's okay. People grow apart.
No, there I get once, that.
And there once was, you know, even though me and Red are related, where we didn't talk as much. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's still my brother. I love him to death, but, you know, like, he's got a family to flourish. I had a family to flourish. You know what I mean? Like, we just had, we were in different places in life.
Well, so if Malice would have never found God.
Gone.
What if what?
I said, what if Malice and Mace never found God?
Mace doesn't have, Mace found God, but the way Mace is acting nowadays is just ridiculous.
Man, the puppy took all his money. Man, when he came back, welcome back, welcome back. You know, you're like that. What? Okay,
All right. Moving over to what? Let's hit that Vegas combo, dude.
The final
subject. So we are officially 2 years removed from Vegas, and I was going somewhere with this. I just don't remember the fuck I was going.
Talk to him, dude.
To Vegas.
Okay. So I just wanted, you know, since the crew did not go to Vegas, because this was the year we were supposed to go to Vegas. Every Vegas. Even number year is when we're supposed to go, right?
That's correct.
I do want to highlight, you know, we're 2 years removed from Vegas, and I just wanted to, like, tell a couple of Vegas stories for the two-year anniversary before we got off the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I got the perfect story.
I'm listening.
The perfect story is... if everybody, if anybody who's listening has ever seen The Wizard of Oz, we found the hood version to The Wizard of Oz shoes. So two things to the story. Shout out to Rich and Ray. But I forgot what we was driving around to and why we was driving. But we were driving around somewhere.
No,
and gone.
No. I do remember, because the night before, because we had to pick you up from the airport late. No, you had to actually come in for the airport, because we Ubered to the grocery store. But
I'm talking about, like, the night that we went and got those ruby red slippers.
No, I know. This is the story leading up to it. So actually, I'm going to tell the story first, and then you can tell what happened the next day. So this is very, very fucked up. So Rich, Mike, and Ray, and we're like, yo, man, we're not going to spend money on Vegas food. What we're going to do is we're going to go to the grocery store, and we're going to get some groceries, and we're going to put those in our room, and so on and so on. So this is how we knew the night was going to be good. So we get in the back of the Westgate, right? Rich said, yo, taxi. Nobody's nobody's paying us any mind, right? So he sees this white couple getting into the taxi. Rich goes up to them and says, yo, I got $50 if you give me that taxi right now. Two people gave up the taxi. Now, mind you, it was a Ford Focus?
It was a small ass. Oh, my God.
Imagine myself, Mikey, who weren't well over 6'2". Myself, Mikey, Rich, and Ronaldo, small-ass Ford Focus going to the grocery store. So on the way to the grocery store, we see a place that's closed. It says shoes for $5. So Rich said, yo, we going there tomorrow, Bo. You know how Rich talk? Yo,
yeah, going there tomorrow, Bo. It was random, too. You just seen it. He was like, shoes for $5. Oh, we going there tomorrow. And I was like, oh, all right, cool, whatever. So,
this leads into the next day where Ray can tell the story now.
Yeah, so we go to this shoe place, and I remember because we went to the little taco cart, right? And obviously Ray speak a little bit of Spanish, you know, a little bit of Spanish, and I was at the taco car fucking everything up. Didn't know what the fuck I was doing. All this other shit. And it was like authentic Mexican food and shit like that. It was good. But I was fucking it up. And I probably asked some stupid ass questions like, yo, do you have soft tortilla shells or some shit? And the bitch got, she got super offended or whatever the hell. So anyways, the taco car was right next to that shoe store. That $5 shoe store. So we went up in there and we saw these ruby red studded shoes. And when I said they looked like that, and a bunch of what?
And a bunch of Air Gordons.
And a bunch of Air Gordons. Now, I can't really talk shit because, in all honesty, I think I bought a suitcase from the store for like $5. And it was like a big ass because I needed an extra bag to travel home with. But I remember we were just walking down the aisle and we saw those shoes. And we was I still have the videos on my phone. We was clowning the hell out of those shoes.
Yo, send me that video though.
I gotta look for it, but I think I still got them on my phone. But then Rich just came up with the idea, it was like, yo, what if we just bought these shoes? It was like what? Who the fuck gonna wear these? He was like, "Yeah, let's just buy them." So we bought the fucking shoes, and what did we do? We came back and we gave them to who did we get the shoes? We gave the shoes to Ray, right?
Yeah, Ray. Yes, sir. Ray still got the motherfuckers ready to go.
Yo, when I say these shit look like some ghetto ass Wizard of Oz church shoes. Like, they look like some ghetto ass with the boss church shoes.
Yo, I remember the joke I made. I said, look, you click to your heels three times, you end up in Compton. On Westmoreland Street.
Westmoreland Street. And Rich put them bitches on and put his foot up on that goddamn chair. He's like, hey, this is what old dudes do when they playing dice and shit. Put the motherfucker in his mouth. Had the cigarette
get off his lip. It's funny because Mikey has a video of him doing that, and I got some Southern soul music playing in the background.
Yes, sir. Rich started motherfucking throwing, bam, rocking them damn dice.
Yo, with the cigarette hanging from his mouth.
Yo, this wasn't the time. I don't remember if this. No, this might have been the first time we went to Vegas. But I was gonna say, oh yeah, it was the first time we went to Vegas because we walked past the spot. Because we was walking down the one little strip place that had the casino and stuff, and they had like the dude outside performing, and it was that one pack ass club, and I was like, yo, that's Club COVID right there, because we went during COVID.
Yes, yeah, that was the second one, because I was there when Club COVID.
The second time was COVID.
Yeah, second time was the club we didn't go into. It was Club COVID. Because the first time we went was it was the same club, right, nigga? And then we went in there and we met those older chicks.
Yeah.
And we was talking to the we talked to those chicks. And then like the dude that like you remember that like the dancer dude that used to always be dancing downtown and shit when we used to go out. They had a Vegas version of this dancing dude. They had a Vegas version of the dancing dude in the same damn club. And then we go to we go downstairs to have breakfast in the morning. And this motherfucker works for the hotel that we were fucking staying at. Yeah. like and he was doing the same dances as he was giving motherfuckers tours around the hotel. Yeah. I mean, wasn't Rich like, yo, isn't that a dancing motherfucker? Yo. That shit was funny as hell.
Yo, you know what my Vegas story is?
Yo.
So, my Vegas story actually comes in, you know, all of us were hanging out, right? I didn't know Mikey was very funny about his bed. Well, I wouldn't call it funny.
I wouldn't call
it funny. Because I understand Mikey now. So, Mikey was in the bathroom, and I'm sitting on his bed. For anybody who knows me, I sit Indian style. No matter where I am.
6'7", my man.
Doesn't matter where I am, what I'm doing. I sit Indian style. We're all talking about, you know, what's the move for today, so on and so on. and I'm sitting Indian style, and my back's towards where the bathroom is. All I hear is, get your motherfucking ass off my bed. What the fuck is wrong with you? And at first I thought Mikey was joking. I'm just like, excuse me? Like, he's like, get your ass off my bed, man.
And he's I like, will tell y'all. Oh my God, yo.
I can kind of see that, especially like what you said about like feet. Have somebody feet on your back. I get that.
I will tell you this. The only thing that got me super heated. What, does anybody remember what time it was?
No. No, I don't.
If I remember correctly, I had just woke, not really just woke up, but it was not early in the morning, but I was just basically when I wake up. Anyway.
Well yeah. And then on top of that, we're on Vegas time, so our bodies acclimated to East Coast time, so yeah.
Exactly. But the main thing was, Digga, you had your motherfucking shoes on my damn bed. Bruh, I was like, what the fuck? And he's just sitting there, just chilling on the phone, you know, Indian style. Like, nigga, if you don't get your ass up on my goddamn
bed. No, but just like
your shoes off, man.
I still hear it right now. Get your motherfucking ass off my bed. And the thing about it was, I didn't know if he was joking or not, because I was just like, wait, excuse me?
Get your ass off my bed, man. I so apologize for that shit too, man. I don't know where that shit came out of nowhere. I was just usually I hold back, you know.
At first, I thought he was just hungry and he was hangry, but
you know what I remember about that last Vegas trip, that motherfucking Big Bang Theory machine.
Oh, shit. Do you remember? Bruh, listen, I'm a team
player.
The
first time we went there, like it was just a preview based off the second time, because the second time we were hitting on that motherfucker
like a motherfucker.
Yo, you remember the damn that older white dude with his son?
I was about to bring that up.
Oh, because
we were winning and kept winning, and this older white dude saw us winning, and then like he was like, Y'all want some drinks? He came and bought us all drinks. And the first time we lost on that shit, because we hit like maybe like three or four in a row. And then like right when we lost on that shit, y'all rich. They turned that white dude was like, yo, y'all gotta get the fuck out of here. Y'all bad luck.
I said, yo, man, you're being a cooler right now. Because for those who don't know what a cooler is, in Vegas, and when they come by you, you start to cool down your hot streak. So at first, you know, I'm trying to be nice. Like, you know, we're hitting on this. You're being a cooler right now. Can you go over there somewhere? And he said, no, I want to buy you more drinks December 3rd. Now, mind you, I just put $50 in this machine for Red, right? Because you like almost $300, right? So I was like, Red.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, yo, I said, yo, Red, just keep going. Keep hitting. And like once Mark got to the damn $10 mark, I said, yo, you gotta get the fuck out of here, dog. Like,
you know what's funny about that? After that motherfucker left, we started hitting again.
Right.
I made like $400 or $500 on that machine.
But you know what's funny though?
Another funny thing was you had to have one of y'all there for that goddamn machine to hit. I went down there by my damn self. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Mark, come down there. What are you doing there? Okay, I'm going to sit down. Hitting.
I'm like, oh, shit. You know what's funny? They give you a bunch of cheap liquor down there, right?
Yeah, they do.
I remember Mikey was on the machine, and that just came on walking by him going, Buffalo!
Buffalo!
Jumped off a cheap Amaretto.
That's cheap Amaretto.
You know, they do that so you can get drunk and just spend all your fucking money. But they don't give you like the good liquor. You gotta buy the good liquor from the bar. They're like, all right, we're giving this watered down shit. You can still get drunk off of that.
I had the same dude at the goddamn craps table, motherfucker. I was getting that shit. Then motherfucker come up there, hey, you doing good, man. I'm gonna go ahead and put some on here. I was like, all right, you ain't got to talk to me. Don't say nothing.
You need to go somewhere.
Just shut your ass up. Go down there and put your money on the thing and just don't talk. Goddamn, throw these goddamn
dice. I do. One other story I do remember. The last night. No, that wasn't that time. Never mind. Was it that time? No, it wasn't. I was thinking of the time that me and Ray had saw that pimp, the little skinny white boy pimp.
Wait, what?
No, that was the first time we went to Vegas.
I don't know this story. So,
when we went to go see Emmitt Smith.
No, I like I said, I don't know the story about the skinny white pimp though.
Oh, so, the last night that we were there, everybody had left. This is like when the first trip, and me and Ray had went to go see Emmitt Smith before I hit before I got on the plane, because I had like my plane left at like 4 or 5 in the afternoon, and then Emmitt Smith was doing like he was doing like autograph signings at like 1 or 2 or some shit like that. I was like, all right, so me and Ray had we left the hotel, whatever, and we went there, and we went to this parking garage. And then next thing you know, you see like this white girl and this black girl, big ass titties and in these like dresses. And I thought these motherfuckers like dressed for a show. And then you see this like skinny ass white boy, and I think they got out of a Honda Civic. And I think it was a Honda Civic because the first thing I started thinking, I was like, what kind of pimp car is that?
Gas mileage. You know, they got to drive around this motherfucker all night.
But, he didn't want to get like a Cadillac or some shit. Then he got out of a Honda Civic, and this motherfucker got out looking like the devil, because he had like if you could imagine what a white young pimped out devil looks like. This is how this motherfucker looked. He had like the red hat, and I think he had like the red suit with like white shoes or some shit, and like. Had a feather and shit, and like this, but I mean, the bitches he was with were bad. But I was like, yo, this motherfucker really out here looking like the devil pimping these hoes. And like, when I say that he was like skinny and white, I'm talking like, have you ever seen that movie, The New Kid?
DJ Qualls
and The New Kid. It was like a DJ Qualls just like in pimp mode. Like, I was like, there's no way that this motherfucker, like he must have, like, his hand must be strong as shit. He must got a big ass ring when he smacked these bitches, because there's no way. like in any other real day that these bitches would be rolling with this dude. And the thing that made it funny to me was like when he was strolling, it was hot outside. Like it was hot. Like, and you know how the Arizona heat is, and this motherfucker's in like a full suit and shit. And I was like, you know he gonna burn his ass up.
And dry ass
heat. Dry ass heat. Red 3-piece suit. Walking slow and shit. I was like, it's motherfucker here, boy.
Oh. Can I say something on the show?
Yeah.
Y'all guys weren't shit, man.
What?
We went to Lolo's. Y'all made fun of me for getting the water with lemon.
You damn right. No. It wasn't no water with lemon. You had an unsweet tea with goddamn lemon. I'd have punched in your damn throat. But at the time, digga, I didn't know that, you know, you was diabetic. Okay. So that's why I was like, oh shit, I done fucked up. Damn.
But listen,
don't be ordering no goddamn unsweet tea with some goddamn lemon.
At Lolo's for all.
At Lolo's, bro. Come on, all places. No.
Listen, I'm gonna say it like this. I'm gonna say it like this, dog. That Kool-Aid that they got at Lolo's is worth a diabetic shock, bro. I love you to death, nigga, but that Kool-Aid is something else.
That shit was amazing, bro.
And the big ass mason jars.
Oh my god, bro! I got one more. Go ahead.
Y'all remember them dirty ass shoes they had at Ross? Dirty ass pair of size 19 shoes.
Yeah. That was the Ross by that was the Ross that was kind of close to the Old Navy, right? When you heard that fucking song, the cameo song,
Be Yourself.
Boy, that shit came on. Well, I was like, oh shit, this is the Vegas song right here. Hey.
You know what's embarrassing about that? You know what's embarrassing about that, Ross? Because we were all going to Top Golf that night. And I said, all right, I'm going to go pick. Red's like, Digga, no offense, but I'm going to pick your shirt for you.
Yes, I remember that.
Mikey, what was your thought? What was your thought, Mikey?
Oh, shit. What the fuck, yo?
My bad, Mikey. My bad, Digga.
Digga, I'm going to pick that shirt for
my bad, Digga. I just wanted us all to make sure we were on the same page.
Yeah, you know? Dude, I mean, in the hell you was looking out, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, to be fair, Digga, to be fair, you are like 6'7". You got a stocky build, like, but you always wear... You always wear all black.
I do.
Like, no, I just, that. There's nothing wrong with that, but everybody thinks you're a bodyguard.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that neither. I get,
you know what I'm saying?
I get labeled like that every time I go out. Or do you work here? No, I don't. Why are you standing like a bodyguard? I got good posture. Get the fuck out of my face. What the hell?
Like everybody low key thinks you're a bodyguard. Like you be scaring motherfuckers for no reason. Okay. Like if you walk in front of all of us, like motherfuckers just move out the way. They're like look back like oh shit. And then they're looking at our face. They're looking at our faces right to try now. To see if we famous.
Right damn now. I will tell everyone. The way Digga looks in his motherfucking pictures that he takes, that he doesn't smile, he is the same way while he's walking. Get the fuck out the way, goddamn. Digga, he is a kind-hearted, gentle beast, pause, but goddamn it, get your ass out the motherfucking
He be having motherfuckers moving, he be having motherfuckers moving and shit. We be walking past this random ass people with their cell phones out taking pictures of us, don't even know what the fuck we are. Like, this is big people right here.
What's the story, Mikey?
All right. I got two stories roped in than one. Okay, all right. That day we went to play basketball.
Oh man,
Lord, I was trash that day. My soul,
I was trash.
Well, we were all trash because afterwards we were all hurt like a motherfucker. Okay,
you hear Mikey talk about we all trash and this motherfucker making 3-pointers from the half court line and dunking and shit.
I don't know what you're talking about. Who? Shit, you great here. But
no, you know why he was doing that? Because he had the power of T'Challa.
I did have that shit on. I didn't. No.
I ain't gonna lie, man. That first, after that first up and down on the court, I was done, yo.
Done, I was done, man. Look here, Rich. I was Rich done hurt for the rest of the ankle. Rich hurt his ankle. His ankle was swollen the rest of the damn time. Digga, I don't know what happened. You hurt your hamstring or some shit? I don't know.
No, it was my back.
Your back. Yep.
And then my back. And we all, after that, took a 14-hour nap.
The person I felt worse for was Red because he was driving.
Yes. Yeah. So my goodness.
We all could have slept. We all slept in the back and so on, but Red was driving.
Yo, I'm telling you, Red was the only one that you know, felt good. He was like, all right, I'm good. We ain't doing nothing tonight? Oh, okay. All right.
Well, the reason why is because
We went to the Italian restaurant that night.
Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just remember waking up the next day.
we went to the Italian restaurant that night because we were all
Then we tried to go walk in. We were like, nah, we ain't walking nowhere.
We tried to go to one club and it was like, nah, fuck that shit. Yeah,
because we went back to the room. But this all ropes into the following night. When the two extra guests showed up, Alan, shout out to those guys, shout out to them. And I thought it was funny. Y'all probably didn't think it was funny, but when we all went out and Mark was driving the goddamn Suburban and shit, and I had to motherfucking like help him park in his little ass parking garage. And all I hear is the echoes of motherfucking Rich and goddamn Ant getting into it again. I was like, oh shit. I can't remember if I started the thing, but shout out to y'all too. I'm just saying, all I heard was them two yelling back and forth, back and forth. I was like, shit, I wish I was still in the damn vehicle, not trying to help Mark, trying to park this big ass vehicle in this little ass parking spot in the parking garage.
Yo, but you know what's funny in that steakhouse though?
Yeah.
When they were offering the Wagyu steak that was like $200 and shit.
Right beside oh us. My god! They didn't know. They didn't know that shit.
No, they got that bad. They said looking around. I think somebody from my table was like, "Nah, nigga, it's not a mistake."
No, but like the people coming around with meat and shit, cutting it off, putting it on your plate, cool. But no, if you got somebody at your table with a whole cutting board and shit like that, yeah, that's going to cost. All right,
I think the steak was almost $200 a pound.
Mm-hmm. Wagyu's pretty fucking expensive. Yeah, it's even more expensive than Vegas.
No, because when they came to our table, we're just like, yo, we don't care to cut. How much is it? And they were just like, $200 a pound. Right, the next table said, you can go do that. None of us are getting that shit. So they go over to the table where the Spanish people were, and that you know the Spanish people, they're taking a sample and everything. They're like, you know, yeah, go ahead and get us this. So and they bought out a big ass piece, and at $200 a pound, I think they easily had 3 pounds of meat right there. So that's $600.
They're all devouring it,
even the bone. The bone was eight.
Nope, killing them.
So. When the lady bought the ticket, all you hear was, what's that? Oh, no, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no.
So they're all pointing at each other and shit like that. And, like, I don't remember who it was. There's like, yep, that's where they fucked you. I don't remember who said it. Yo. But it was just so bad. I felt so bad for these cats. For these cats, man.
Real talk, man. Definitely got to do something like that again soon. Don't know when. Don't know what destination. But we definitely need more outings like that and get us all back together again.
I will throw this out there. Nigga, you need to get your ass on a boat, man.
Listen.
You on a cruise, cousin. Let's go.
I don't do water.
No bullshit or
nothing. Listen, I will be there to send y'all off. I will be there when y'all return. I will be on the pier. If I gotta sleep on the pier, I got y'all, but I ain't getting on no damn boat.
Not even like a little 3-day thing, man. You ain't got to go up to the top deck and look at the water or anything. You stay below, you know, hit the casino and get some drinks, you know, hit the club or some shit, you know.
Listen to my I went on for our employee retreat. And the whole time I was freaking the fuck out.
Man, come on, man. Damn it, man. I'll pay for your trip. How about that?
Hell no.
Damn it. See, I almost had it. I almost had it.
Listen, I don't care about free trips. If it's going to be on the water, I'm good.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Nigga don't do water.
I don't. And you know the bad part about it is I don't do planes either, but I know I'm going to be on a plane for a certain amount of time. You know what I mean? Like, I will Z-quil myself up. Like, anytime I fly to Vegas or something, I will Z-quil myself up. I will sleep on a plane. But here's the thing. If we're going on a cruise, I know I'm going to be waking up and sleeping, you know, on that boat, and we're going to be out in the middle of nowhere. And I don't want Celine Dion to make tribute songs to me for
any this reason. Motherfucker.
Yo,
well, we'll get on the cruise, and you just fly to the Bahamas.
All what we'll do is we'll figure out somewhere like where if it's a good port city, we'll hang out and chill in the port city, and then when we hit the cruise, we'll hit the cruise for a few days, and we'll come back and chill in that port city.
I don't want to hear near, far,
near,
far. I'd be damned.
These Negroes are gone.
I'd be damned. Do you know how they got me on the damn riverboat cruise for my employee retreat? Miss Wright said, "Larry, the ticket's already paid for." I wanted to be like, "Well, get the money back, bitch."
Get the money back, bitch.
But here's the thing: you know why I went on that riverboat thing? Because I was fucking hungry, and it was a dinner cruise.
Bruh, you gonna have food 24/7 on the cruise. I'm just saying.
I can have food 24/7 at a hotel on the port too.
You are something else. You are something else. I can't believe you. You are something else.
Ray, I can't believe Ray got off the show.
Oh, damn. You didn't dip out?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I'm Diggy Jones. That's Yoga. Red Woods on the show. I don't know what the fuck happened with him. But this is the Troublemakers Podcast. Closing statements.
Yeah, man. I greatly appreciate you having me back on this bad boy. I really enjoy it. I really do. Giving everybody the information that they need, a lot of laughs and all this good stuff, man. And
Monkey Bucks.
Yeah, yeah. Monkey Bucks. Monkey Paws.
Monkey Paws.
But y'all be safe out there, and if y'all got Jiminy Cricket in y'all's tub, make sure you give him some bleach before you send him on his way. All right, God, don't make no mistakes. Oh, there it is.
Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm Digga Jones. Thank y'all for listening. Like I said, I don't even know how to end the show. I will say, as I always say, if you know somebody going through some problems, mental health problems or anything, it only takes 3 seconds to text somebody or call somebody and ask them if they're good. Those 3 seconds goes a long way. Yeah.
Boom. There it is. Roger that. Later.
Later.